I have heard it said many times in this past week that Lent is quite often people's least favorite liturgical season. Unlike the starry glow and the eager anticipation of Advent, Lent lacks links in the secular world with consumerism and with commercialism, which is always reminding us of the season we're a part of. Unlike the season of Epiphany, which we just left, Lent lacks wise men and star words that you can give. Unlike Pentecost, Lent lacks this presence of the Holy Spirit coming down and messing with people and letting them speak in different language and understand one another. Instead, Lent is a season often associated with penitence, with remorsefulness, with denial, and most of all, with guilt. How have I failed God? We wonder woefully to ourselves. How have I been tempted and tested and found to be unworthy? That, people often think, is what Lent is about, and not without good reason. Every single year on this first Sunday in the season of Lent, we read a passage like the one I just read, a passage about Jesus's temptation in the wilderness. And whether it be from Matthew or Mark or Luke, Lent starts off with this story of Jesus's triumph in the face of temptation. And we find ourselves every year hearing those words and thinking about all of the ways that we would have miserably failed. For example, when looking this week for coloring sheets, these sheets that children have during worship, Jeff found a total winner of a coloring sheet, which unfortunately we don't have out this Sunday. It is a drawing of a little boy in a candy store being presented with a large tray of treats by a baker who is undoubtedly also the devil. And the little boy piously has his hand up like this. He is saying no. You can almost hear Robert Duvall from The Apostle, if you've seen that movie, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." So that is one way we can be tempted. Or how about the weather that we are having today? Today it's supposed to get to 64 degrees. You could look around and think that this weather is tempting us to believe that winter is finally gone. In just a few hours, Legion Park is going to be a madhouse with children running all over the place. And it's enough to tempt us into thinking about putting our sweaters away and putting our winter coats away and getting our raincoats ready. Because maybe our troubles are over. Temptation, we often think, tricks us by reminding us of our deepest desires, our longings. Candy for children, warm weather for most of us. But of course, it often plays out in ways deeper than that. On top of our longings, temptation lures us by playing into our fears, by putting us in defense mode and making us believe that maybe there is an easier way out. This past Monday night, alongside many of you in our congregation, I attended the gathering at Brescia University concerning the non-discrimination ordinance that our city is currently debating, or as it's most often called, the fairness ordinance. And while I know my personal beliefs regarding that ordinance, I didn't sign up on the sheet to speak for a couple of reasons. One, I hadn't come with anything written out to say. And two, I didn't want people to hear my words and take them as the feelings of this entire congregation. But when I got home, I realized there was another reason that I did not speak that night. And it's a more shameful reason. I realized that one of the main reasons that I didn't speak is because I was afraid. Not about expressing my personal beliefs or opinions, but about standing up in front of that group of people and saying that I am a minister who happens to be a woman. I was afraid of how I would be treated, because being a woman minister in this town is viewed by a lot of people still as not being okay. I was afraid of how my kids would be treated. I'm always afraid of how my kids will be treated when people find out their mom's a minister. And I was afraid of getting into a Bible battle about whether or not it was okay for me to even be a minister. I was afraid. And so something within me tempted me into trying to hide. Literally, if any of you saw this picture from the Owensboro Times, the next day I am right there on the front row, and it looks like I am trying to hide behind my hair. You can't even see me. It's like I was trying so hard to just fade into the furniture around me. Temptation finds us in our hunger, in our longing. It finds us in our fears, and it finds us in our deepest, quietest corners of our lives that long for something different, that long for a way out of where we find ourselves. In the wilderness, Jesus encountered each of these. Bread for his hunger, spectacle for his fear, power as an alternative to the road that he had just been commissioned to walk. But time and again, when that temptation bubbled up inside of him, often quoting scripture to mask its nefarious intentions, Jesus responded calmly and resolutely, not out of some kind of piety, not as an episode of some epic spiritual battle, but as proof that Jesus had accepted who he was, that he had accepted who he had just been called to be. And who was that? If you look back to the verses that come right before our reading for today, they are the verses about Jesus's baptism. Right before this story of temptation, we hear that at his baptism, the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said to him, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." See, right before the temptation came the most important part, where God named Jesus Beloved, where God equipped him, not with weapons or with wit, but with identity, with the name Beloved. And with that name placed on him, with his wholehearted belief in who he was, Jesus could fight off anything that would tempt him to go another way. Maybe it can be like this for all of us this Lent. Not so much about guilt and about suffering and about trying to prove one's worth in the eyes of God, but instead, maybe Lent can be about accepting what God has already named us, which is beloved. Maybe with belovedness, we can strip away the notion that this season is about denial, and we can reorient it toward beloved discipleship. What if at Lent, that's what we started with as we came down from the mountain, as we talked about last week? Start the season equipped with an awareness of our own belovedness so that whatever we encounter along the way, whatever temptations or easy ways out we find, we have the power to resist it, to overcome, to root ourselves firmly in belovedness, so much so that we cannot be moved. What practices could you take on this season to remember your belovedness? Maybe you could set an alarm on your phone every day that says, "You are beloved." And then once a day, when that alarm goes off, you would be reminded of that fact. Or maybe at night before going to bed, you could write yourself a note, "You are beloved," and place it next to your coffee maker, so that first thing in the morning, the first thing that you see is that truth. But what's more, in seeing that, you will be invited to live as someone who is beloved, to go out into this world with Christ and to ensure that every person knows that fact as well, that they are beloved. I, for one, have decided that I'm going to wear this clerical collar for these 40 days of Lent, not as I initially thought, as penitence for not having had the courage to speak on Monday night, but as a celebration of the gift of being a pastor, and being a girl pastor at that. It is a gift to be a pastor. And sure, some people might look at me funny. Some people may question it. But I will never need to question my own belovedness. I will be reminded every day that God has called me and that I am beloved. What marker can you wear to ensure that you never question that you are beloved? For 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus fasted before he faced temptation. But have you ever noticed what happens after Jesus's 40 days and 40 nights, after his fasting and his temptation? It says, "The tempter left him, and the angels came, and they waited on him." Angels came, and they reminded him, "You are God's beloved. You did good." Friends, God is not demanding over-the-top piety or self-loathing or sacrifice this season. No, in Lent, we are simply invited to do two things: to remember our belovedness and to try to follow Jesus. Let's try that for this time ahead. Let's root our footsteps each and every day in belovedness and in Christ. Belovedness and Christ. Belovedness and Christ. Belovedness and Christ. This Lent, may that be our journey. Amen.
Let us stand together and say what we believe. To be reconciled to God is to be sent into the world as God's reconciling community. This community, the Church Universal, is entrusted with God's message of reconciliation and shares God's labor of healing the enmities which separate people from God and from each other. Christ has called the Church to this mission and given it the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Church maintains continuity with the apostles and with Israel by faithful obedience to his call.